Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Straight from the synagogue, Jesus returns to the house of Simon and Andrew along with James and John. And we move from demons to disease. And for Jesus, they are essentially the same thing. Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a bit of a fever. She hasn't been feeling well as of late, and they tell Jesus about her. Would you please look in on her? We're kind of concerned, and I think she'd like a visit. It seems almost trivial, doesn't it, compared with that spectacular confrontation with the demon in the synagogue? This little incident seems unimportant by comparison. A fever, serious perhaps, but likely to pass in a few days. A 48-hour bug. Rest in bed, drink plenty of fluids, take 2 aspirin, feed a cold, starve a fever. I'm sure she'll be back on her feet in no time. Or, like when I had an outbreak of poison ivy, and I asked the doctor, should I come in and see you? He says, well, if I do something, it'll take about 3 weeks to go away, or if you leave it alone, about 21 days. But Jesus came, and he went to her in that little moment of need. Now, sickness can be a very spiritual time, a moment of great insight, of vulnerability, of dependence. You're kind of laid out, feeling miserable, flat on your back, don't want to be seen by anybody, or at least I don't. And we are reminded there of our mortality, that things don't always work right with our bodies. Even the little flus and the sniffles are all signs that we are dust, and to dust we are destined to return. Our sicknesses also point to a greater and more glorious day for our bodies, that day of resurrection, when these broken bodies of ours will be restored and will rise to new life in the resurrection of Jesus, and we will be changed. Our bodies will be changed to bodies suited for eternal life. Sin and sickness go together. James talks about that. If anyone is sick, he says, call the pastors, have them come visit you. Let them pray for you and anoint you with oil and hear your confession. Sin and sickness go together, but not in the way that people think. We don't get sick because we have sinned, at least not in any sort of necessary sort of way. Yes, some sins have intrinsic health effects. Drunkenness will cause a profound deterioration of your health. Immorality and promiscuous sex bring dire health risks and consequences as well. All true. But God isn't necessarily trying to tell you something every time that you catch a cold or the flu. Think of Job, who suffered terribly in his own body, not because he sinned in any particular way, but because he was righteous in the eyes of God. So we can't say that sin and sickness are linked in any kind of a cause and effect sort of way. Simon's mother-in-law wasn't necessarily sick with a fever because of any particular sin in her life, and Jesus certainly doesn't mention any. But sin and sickness have things in common. They are alien to us. They are foreign to our bodies. They don't belong there. The sicknesses are the result of bacteria and germs, foreign agents. Even our cancers are the result of our cells turning against us and becoming a foreign element in our own body, a kind of consumptive invader. That makes sickness and even things like demon possession pictures of sin and its effects spiritually. Sin is a spiritual sickness. Your doctor can't help you with that one. A systemic spiritual virus. Something that has invaded our humanity, and we can't seem to shake it no matter how hard we try. Sin is a disorder of God's order that has taken over and has resulted in all manner of destructive chaos that brings death. Sin is an inevitably fatal disease for which the only cure, is to die and rise in faith in Jesus. And so even that little case of the sniffles, even that little 24-hour fever is a grim reminder that there is something terribly wrong. Terribly wrong with our bodies, terribly wrong with the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the world we live in, the cosmic order of things. It's all messed up. And that's what Jesus came to set right. And so he came to her, this poor woman on her sickbed, and he comes to you in your time of weakness and sickness too. Never doubt that. There is nothing that is more important than you to Jesus. And he doesn't only come to you when you are well and healthy and active and feel all that religious joy in your heart. He comes to you when you are down, when you are weak, when your bones hurt, when you are fevered, and when you are sick. I like the old Lutheran prayers. I like old Lutherans. The older I get, the more I like old Lutherans. The old Lutheran prayers used to pray for the sick and talk about this time of your visitation. They viewed illness as a special time of God's visitation to the sick person. Jesus came to her. He doesn't say a word here, notice, nothing to be said. He simply takes her hand in his hand. And, I love it, he lifts her up. And, in lifting her up, the fever melts away at his touch. A little resurrection. Jesus reaches down and he takes our dead hand and he lifts us up. And in lifting us up, we are healed. We are raised from the dead. He lifts us up. See, that's what Jesus does. That's his specialty, lifting us up. He lifts us up from sin, from death, from the despair of shame and guilt in our lives. He lifts us up from all the things that would drag us down, down to the grave. You heard the prophet this morning. He gives power to the faint, not to the strong, to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. The mighty have to become weak first. Even youths who think they're immortal shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, that's faith talk, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That's kind of a good verse for this day of the marathon, isn't it? What a dumb thing to do to your body to run 26 miles. You know, the inventor of the marathon dropped dead when he did it. I take heart there. When the Lord lifts you up, you just don't get up. You rise. You rise. You rise up to new life. Jesus was lifted up on the cross from the grave to the right hand of the Father so that he might lift you up. Being lifted up, Simon's mother-in-law did the only thing she could do. She served them. And please don't skip that little sentence. She served them. She began to wait on them. She put on some tea and set out maybe some cookies or scones or even a nice lunch. She went back to the mundane chores of her everyday life, the day-to-day grind. And it was really not a day-to-day grind anymore because Jesus had lifted her up. And now she lifts up her little sacrifice, that little sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, that little pot of tea and those scones or finger sandwiches. She offers herself, and in offering herself, she who was lifted up now lifts up her life as a living sacrifice, and she serves those around her in her vocation. That's how it works. And you too. You are not lifted up to lie down, but to live. To live under Christ in his kingdom and to serve him and those around you in his name. At our Thursday Bible class, which is my testing pad for everything, I figure if I can get it past the Thursday Bible class, I can get it past anybody. And so we had this little discussion in the Thursday Bible study over those words that end some liturgical services. Perhaps you've heard them. Go in peace and serve the Lord, they say. And then some object to those words. They object to those words because they say that's law. And we must never end on the law. So I generally say, in deference to that, the liturgy is ended, go in peace, which in some ears, especially the young, may sound something like, yippee, we're done, so we can take the rest of the day off and do the stuff we really want to do today. We're going to watch the Super Bowl. But then we started to think about this in the Thursday Bible class, and we asked ourselves, what's wrong with go in peace and serve the Lord? Isn't that actually what the new man in Christ wants to do? Serve the Lord? And isn't that what the old man in Adam needs to be told to do? Serve the Lord against his will? And isn't that what Simon's mother-in-law did? And why are we so afraid of that sentence? We've been lifted out of the condemnation of the law. We have been lifted out of sin, death, and the power of the devil so that we might serve God and our neighbor without any fear whatsoever of judgment. And so go in peace and serve the Lord in that peace that you have received from the Lord. She served them. Jesus served many more people that day. That evening, as the sun was going down, the whole town showed up at this poor woman's front door. It's good she was well again. She probably served them as well. The day started with a slight fever, and it ended with an enormous crowd parked on her front porch. And Jesus did what he always does. He healed the sick of all sorts of diseases. And he cast out all kinds of demons. And he silenced them, just as he did at the synagogue in Capernaum. The demons knew who he was, and they knew why he came, and they were very eager to preach, very eager to proclaim, and let the secret about Jesus out before its time. They wanted Jesus to rise in popularity and to circumvent the one thing that they feared the most, his death. They knew that if he died, they were done for. They knew that he had come to destroy the works of the devil by dying. They knew that all these healings, all these demon castings, all of this came from the power of his cross. And they would do anything to keep him away from that cross, even serving up the untimely truth of who he was and why he came. All Jesus had to do was set up shop at that front porch, and he could have wiped out disease in the Middle East. He could have set up a kind of a healing center at Simon's mother-in-law's house. She wouldn't have to work again a day in her life. The pilgrims coming from all over would have paid down that mortgage in no time. And in short order, every disease and every demon would be wiped out. But you know, Jesus didn't do that. What he did was early in the morning, before the sun came up and before anybody woke up, he snuck out of town and he went to a place in the wilderness all by himself to pray. And the disciples went chasing after him, searching, looking for him, to remind him that he had a waiting room full of patients and it's time to get back to that business of healing again. But Jesus says something to them that's utterly remarkable in our ears. He says, let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for this is why I came. And that's what he did. He left all those sick people who hadn't gotten there the day before. He left them all behind at that little house in Capernaum. All those demonized and distressed people, all those nice little old ladies with their fevers and worse, and he left them all by themselves on the porch. Couldn't he have sent the disciples at least? Healing disease, casting out demons, lifting little old ladies from their sick beds. Those were not why Jesus came. He came to preach. The miracles were signs that attested to the authority of his preaching. They showed that his words had the authority of God, with the power to heal, the power to silence the demons, the power to raise the dead. The miracles were not an end in themselves. The miracles were a means to an end, pointing to the word that he spoke, the word of life, the word of forgiveness, the word that you hear preached to you. Simon's mother-in-law would get sick again one day. Jesus granted her no special immunity from illness. One day she would get sick and she would die. But she knew whom to trust. She knew that this same Jesus would lift her up again, even from the grave. She knew that this word and this touch of his are the word and the touch of God himself. God come to us in our humanity. Think of every healing that you experience in your own life, whether it be getting over a cold, getting over the flu, getting over something even greater. Think of it as more than just having dodged the bullet or getting a little favor from God, but think of it as a little resurrection, a little instance of being lifted up by the hand of Jesus. Think of it not as an end in itself, but as a little sneak preview of a much greater day. A day that Jesus comes to you and he extends his hand into your grave and he lifts you up from the dead to eternal life. Whenever I pray with the sick and I visit the sick, I always remind them that Jesus is the ultimate source of healing, every healing, and that every prayer for healing finds its yes and its amen in Jesus. You will be healed. Have no doubt about it. You will be lifted up and healed. Maybe not from this particular illness from which you're suffering at the moment, and certainly not from dying. That you must do. But you will be healed, lifted up, raised from the dead to perfect, perfect life and healing. And in a most important way, Jesus lifts you up and he heals you every single time you hear those words, "I forgive you all of your sins." Every time you take his body and his blood into your mouths, the medicine of immortality and life and forgiveness, he lifts you up and he heals you. That's what he does. And when Jesus lifts you up and heals you, it's perfectly acceptable to say, "Go in peace, serve the Lord." In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.